Gentlemen, what I want to discuss with you today is the Kofzadi Se'ifyud, the second part, which is the din of a kesem that is found on a beged savua, which is tahar. Right? Kesem that's found on beged savua is tahar. The source of this is a Gemara Samach Aleph on the base. The Gemara and Samach Aleph on the base tells me that Beged Savu is Matami Mishum Kesem, according to Tanakama. Reb Nosson Bar Yosef and some of the Rishonim, the Rush, the Beis Yosef, has this Girsa, have as Reb Yonas and Ben Yosef, they say that's not Matami Mishum Kesem. Shelo Tiknu, Bigde Tzivonim, Leisha Ela Hakel Akismehen. They only were Mesakein and Bigde Tzivonim to be Mako on Liksam. The Gemara then asks, what type of Tapkana is it? So the Gemara answers, well, Bepumas Shas Basyonos, that means when Vespasian was besieging Yerushalayim before Churban Bayis Sheni, they wanted to institute certain takanos. One of them was to forbid big dates of onim as well. And the Gemara says, "Ha'adifa k'dei l'hakel al kusmehen." They wanted to forbid wearing colored garments. And the Gemara says, "No, it's important to maintain the wearing of colored garments in order to be Mako on the Ksamim," which means effectively that at one point in history, during the siege of Vespasian, they wanted to say that one is not allowed to wear colored clothing. Later on, or alternatively, one could learn that they decided never to make the Gezeira, that it is forbidden to wear colored clothing, because wearing colored clothing has a halachic advantage in that it allows us to be lenient on the ksamim. So there's a machlokes hatanoim about whether there is a takana of ksamim on big dates of onim, on colored garments. Again, a stain, we're not talking about a flow, we're not talking about period. A woman who finds a stain, so do I assume categorically that when the stain is on something colored, so therefore there is no ksamim? There is a Rush who notes over here, the Rush is on page 85 in the standard printings of the Rush. It's in Simon Aleph of the Halachos in this parak, of Halachos of Parak Ha'isha. It's a little bit hard to find because in the middle, the Rush has like the halachos of Kil'e Begadim and the stuff. So it's like mamish, impossible to find. But once you find it, so you found it. So the Rush writes that the Ramban paskins like the Tanakhama. The Ramban paskins that colored is not a leniency when it comes to ksamim. However, the Rambam paskins like Reb Yonasan, the Rambam paskins that colored garments is a leniency. Ubiksamim shomim lahakel. And because the entire issue is derabbanan, so therefore we are going to be lenient. That is the conclusion of the Rush. Nonetheless, when you go into the Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef quotes that the Rashba in the Torah Habayis Hakotzer, the Rashba decided to write a halachic work, which is a primary source in terms of the halachos of kashrus, and he has a section on Hilchos Nida as well. There is a longer version of the Rashba called the Torah Habayis Ha'aruch, where he goes through the entire sugya with the Rishonim, etc. And then there's the shorter version, the Torah Habayis Ha'katzer, where it's like apodictic, he just gives us the halachos, the halachos, the halachos. So in the Torah Habayis Ha'katzer, the Rashba writes that one should be strict on this. Hamachmir, Tavo LaBracha, it is a good idea to be strict.
That still means he's paskin like Reb Nosson.
He fundamentally paskins like Reb Nosson or Reb Yonasson, whoever it is, but he says it's a good idea to be strict. He doesn't really elaborate why it's a good idea, perhaps in deference to his Rebbe the Ramban, not sure. But the Rashba writes, Hamachmir Tavo Alav Bracha. The Dogomer Vava. The Dogomer Vava says, Tmehane Shalohe Vyushum Cholev. He's bothered that the Shulchan Aruch does not quote any dissenting opinion. I was just talking with Sasha on the way up to Shir, And I pointed out Professor Isidore Torsky's article about the authorship of the Shulchan Aruch and the purpose of the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch is fundamentally a Sefer Limud. Fundamentally, Shulchan Aruch is not here to teach me the halacha. Shulchan Aruch is here to tell me the major positions. If you have a position that's like completely rejected, the Shulchan Aruch won't tell it to you. But there is a position that's somewhat mainstream, so Shulchan Aruch is supposed to tell it to you. Even if we don't pass in that way, Shulchan Aruch should quote it. So the Dog Omer Vava writes, how come Shulchan Aruch does not quote the dissenting opinion? After all, it's the opinion of the Hagos Maimoni in the name of Rabbeinu Simcha and in the name of the Ra'avon, and the Ramban also holds this way. So it is difficult, Kashela Hakel Neged Shlosha, the way we have the text, Chamorei Olam, which sounds like it's difficult to be makel against the three donkeys. That is kind of insulting. The word is a misprint. It should be Amudei Olam, not Chamorei Olam. Okay, so far so good.
It could be
Chamure Olam, those who are Chamur. It could be. I like saying it this way because it's funnier.
Right.
But the point is that the Dog Omer Vava says that there are real grounds to be strict over here. There is a Rabbeinu Simcha and a Ra'avon. Now, then they point out that there is no such Ra'avon. The Ra'avon does not exist, and it probably is a typo. There's so many typos in this Dog Omer Vava. It should read Ramban, not Ra'avon. If that's the case, you don't have three positions. You only have two positions.
In my edition, it says Ramban.
What?
In my edition, it says Ramban.
It says Ramban. In that part, or they change. In the Hagos Maimonios, he quotes.
The
Hagos Maimonios, if I'm not mistaken, change. I brought the wrong Rambam. The Hagos Maimonios, I believe, changes that in the Franco Hagos Maimonios, they change Ra'avon to Ramban.
That's why here.
Right, and in your Shulchan Aruch, they also change it. So that means that it's only two positions, not three. It happens that there is a third position who is strict on a kesem, on a colored item, although this position is not explicit, rather you have to read between the lines, so to speak. In the Ravid, in the Ba'alei HaNefesh, this is a point that Rabbi Karp makes in his Sefer Mishmeres HaTahara. When you go through the Ravid and Ba'alei HaNefesh, he quotes all of the kulas of Ksamim, and absent from that Ravid is this kula of Beged Savua. It's absent. It's not there. That's already interesting, no? That's already interesting that the Ravid doesn't have it. Therefore, I would argue that the Dog Omer Vava, yes, I think there's a typo, but maybe the typo is instead of the word Ra'avon, it should be Ra'avod, right? Perhaps. Again, this is already conjecture. But be it as it may, there is a Machlokes HaRishonim as to whether we accept this position of that a kesem, a stain on a Beged Savua, is not metame. There's a question whether we accept it, but as a matter of halacha, this position is accepted. Shulchan Aruch does not even quote a dissenting opinion. What's the reason for this din? Why is it that a stain found on a colored garment is not tummy? After all, it's kind of strange, no? What would be the reason for this? So Rashi has a comment. Rashi has a comment. She'en ha-kesem nikar bo kimar e dam gomur. Rashi comments that a kesem is not so noticeable on a colored garment. A kesem is not so noticeable. Now, what does Rashi mean? It's not so noticeable. You can probably tell if it's red or if it's not red. So the answer might be as follows. And I saw, again, Rabbi Karp on page 94 in his Sefer has this idea. You know, the Mishnah tells me on Daf Yud Zayin that fundamentally not all colors of blood are tummy. Not all colors are bought, excuse me, on Daf Yutes. Fundamentally, Chamisha Damim Tumeim Beisha. There are five colors that are Tumei. Four of them are shades of red. There's the shade of red, like an area where saffron grows. There are shades of red like certain types of ground. There are shades of red like diluted wine. Right? Those shades of red are tummy. Other shades of red are okay. Now, we today, and this already goes back in the time of the Gemara, we lost our expertise in which shades of red are problematic and which shades of red are not problematic. Because we lost our expertise, so anything that's red, we say is tummy. Clear, categorical, whatever is red is tummy. But because the original Gezerah was, because the original Gezerah was only on those particular reds, the original Halacha of Nida was only that these four shades of red are problematic. So therefore, one could argue that when you find the stain on a colored item, that might be able to distort the red from red A to red B. You're right. I can still tell that it's red when it's found on the colored item. But it might be sufficient to distort the color enough that I can't tell whether it's one of those four original reds. And just like we spoke about yesterday, with respect to Ksamim on Davar HaMakabel Tumah, that all of the halachos of stains, so to speak, are throwbacks to what that original halacha was way back when, right? And we mentioned my idea also that maybe Ksamim, this measurement of a ma'acholas, the measurement of, right, 19 millimeters, right? Our bugs are much smaller. Yeah, but we suggested maybe bugs used to be bigger. And the halachos of Ksamim are a throwback to ancient times. So it could be that the same idea is found over here with a beged tzavua. Basically, though, one idea that I see from Rashi is that fundamentally the halacha of beged tzavua is based on creating a suffix. I might not have a suffix in terms of the way I paskin today, because today I paskin that all reds are problematic. But based on the original way back when halacha, it was a suffix. Therefore, I'm going to be makel because the blood ultimately is a spek sveka. Spek sveka, in the sense of maybe the blood came from the woman, maybe it came from the outside. Even if it came from the woman, maybe it's not one of those four original reds. Spek svekas were makel on. Right? That could be the pshat. That's what I would call Judaism according to Rashi. So far, so good? Can I just ask you to speak loud? Because between my hearing and your mask, it's going to be a tough one. Yeah.
Don't we have the same suffix always nowadays? We couldn't distinguish the reds anyway?
Oh, so the Vart is that there is a concept called the suffix chisaron yedia, right? If it's a suffix that everybody has, so then perhaps we'll have to talk about this later on, but perhaps because everyone has the suffix, it doesn't count as a suffix. Or perhaps, since I am ultimately metame or red, so I'm ultimately metame or red, end of conversation, but when it's found on a beged savua, I could argue that the Chachomim never made the Gezerah since it would have been tahar based on, right, since it definitely would have been tahar based on the color just being distorted from the beged, right? Now, you're arguing that's always a spek sveka, because I'm never sure if it's blood or not, right? If it's neither blood or it's not neither blood. I don't think so. I would say that in our times, we treat every color of red as being problematic. We don't consider it a suffix. But with respect to Ksamim, We rely on that old halacha. So you're right. Maybe I should be making every single kesa based on the Svek Sveka. That's a really good kasha. Ask your father. He would like the kasha. Yeah.
Just in terms of Havara and Rashi, why don't we say Pasha? Rashi says, Zero Tsamim is up to Dan Baba Hagdasha. So then, regular Kesem, Chazal weren't Gozer in a situation where it's not Borer, because then it won't be mixed up with Dan Baba Hagdasha. It only be confused with Dan Baba Hagdasha.
Again, Rashi, right, you're saying that Rashi Lashitaso holds that every Kesem is because of that, is a Gezerah that maybe it's Dan Baba Hagdasha. And therefore,
only that very clearly seen down is going to be confused with Dan Baba Hagdasha.
But in this case, yeah,
it's not because
it's on something that's colored, so therefore,
it's the person's head is not going to start being mapped down.
Again, so the way you're suggesting it is that the halacha would only apply to those colors that potentially might be distorted for us, and therefore I could not make a gezeira that I think it's blood with hargasha. But I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that because as a matter of practical halacha, we assume that something is called colored, even if it is cream a color. Let's ask it this way. Is a light pastel yellow, is that a color? So I shouldn't say all the acronym. The vast majority of the posts can say anything that you do not call white is considered colored. Now, you're not really going to make a mistake on that. You can't say that's a gazette, right? I think the only way it makes sense is that it's a throwback to what the halacha used to be, and the halacha was that only four colors are tummy, and even if it's on a light pastel, maybe that's enough to distort the color from real red A to fake red B.
Even in Pshat and Rashi, the Lashon of Rashi.
I thought so. I thought Rashi says, "Ein hakesem nikarbo kimar edam gamor." It does not look like full-fledged blood. Right? If anything, the Lashon of Rashi, I think, is much more Himar Adam Gamur. It doesn't appear like full-fledged blood. So I am maintaining, gentlemen, I am maintaining that the halacha of Kesem on a davar that is Savua, according to Rashi at least, is fundamentally because it remains a Suffolk. Hi, Akiva. You guys aren't even letting me get to the good stuff.
No, but according to Pesach, then you see where the Ramah said that the whole Vichach thing, that you're allowed to put yourself in Chachila, even.
Whoa. I want to talk about that in a few minutes. But Rashi, I think, is saying it is based on a Suffolk. Now, the Rambam, which I forgot to bring because I brought the wrong volume of Rambam, the Rambam in Parak Tes Halacha Zayin has the halacha of kesem on a davar that's not mekabel tumah in the same halacha as kesem on a davar tzavua, which is actually the way Shulchan Aruch says it. The Rambam has an expression v'chein to connect the two, and the Rambam's language is lo gazru. Lo Guzru does not sound like it is fundamentally Suffolk. Lo Guzru sounds like Chazal never said it's also Lo Guzru. Why is it Lo Guzru? I'm not sure. But it's not because I have any debt. The Rambam is not saying it's because there is a Suffolk. Rather, the Rambam is saying that Chazal me'eza siba shehi never said that blood on a davar tzavua is problematic. If this is the case, so I would argue that there are many nafgaminas between these two approaches. The approach of Rashi that it's a suffix versus the approach of the Rambam that Chazal never said it's usher. One nafgamina is found in the Pispei Tshuva Se'if Katin Chaf Beis. Chaf Katin Chaf Aleph, the last two lines. Pispei Tshuva quotes a tshuva of the Chassam Sofer. Now, you mentioned that all of the Chassam Sofers in the Piskei Tshuva are found in brackets because the author of the Piskei Tshuva got it later on, so he added it in brackets. The Chassam Sofer notes that when you read the Gemara on Samach Aleph, the Gemara asks, how can you say that Chachomim instituted that women should wear colored? When did that institution happen? When did they make the Takana? So we say that it happened when Vespasian was besieging Yerushalayim. They said that you should not wear atros chasanim, that a groom should not wear certain crowns. They said that certain types of instruments should not be used. They wanted to say that you should not wear colored garments, but they ended up being lenient. Says the Chassam Sofer, let's be honest. The Chachamim wanted to say that you should not wear colored garments. Apparently, colored garments bring a certain amount of joy. Do you think the issue is that colored underwear brings joy? Or the issue is that colored outer garments bring joy? The Chassam Sofer says it's much more likely that when Vespasian wanted to forbid colored garments, he's talking about like fancy outer garments, probably not talking about underwear. And the Chassam Sofer writes that if you find a stain on the underwear, it is highly likely, right? This is the Chassam Sofer Simon Kuf Samach Aleph. His expression is, that it's highly likely that the blood came from the woman itself. All of the poskim do not like this Chassam Sofer. If you want to see a beautiful write-up of this, in the Tshuva of the Maharsham was the Rav in Brzezin, which is Galicia, Mamish Agon Olam, when I was at my parents for Yontiv. So a man who's a great-grandson of the Maharsham was speaking to me. I quoted a Maharsham on one of the shiurim I gave. So he publishes the Maharsham's Tshuva. So he gave me a little biography of the Maharsham. Unbelievable. He used to review 273 daf every Shabbos morning. How he got the number 273, some Kabbalistic something or another, 273. Okay, gentlemen, any of you review 273 daf every Shabbos morning? No, probably, right? Okay, this is quite unfortunate, right? You got a chazer, or I would ask the question differently. How many of you actually know 273 daf of Gemara? That's already, and it's a much more extreme way of asking the question. What?
How late did he
daf? How late did he daf? No matter how late you dive in, it's still impressive. To review 273 daf of Gemara every Shabbos is still impressive. The story goes that one time a Shaila came to Reb Chaim in Brisk. And Reb Chaim didn't want to answer the question. He wasn't a posek. So he sent the Shaila to the Dayan in Brisk, Reb Simcha Zelig. Reb Simcha Zelig, Reb Shechter writes this in the Sefer Nefesh HaRav. Reb Simcha Zelig is thinking about the Shaila, is a difficult Shaila. He isn't able to answer right away. And he's looking into the question, he can't answer. So the person who asked the Shaila was told, you know what, just send a telegram to the Maharsham and you'll get the answer. So he sends a telegram to the Maharsham. He gets the answer back right away. While he gets the answer back, Reb Simcha Zelig comes running to him. Simcha Zelig says, even though the Prima Godim is Megal, but the Prima Godim is against the simple reading of a Gemara. The Maharsham's telegram comes back, and it says, even though the simple reading of the Gemara is this way, the Prima Godim says the other way, so we're passing the Prima Godim. And Rav Shechter uses that in the Nefesh HaRav, kind of as a demonstration of a halachic methodology. Okay, I think it's an interesting point. But right, do you pass in like the later svarim, or do you pass like the simple read of the Gemara? But the Maharsham writes in that Tshuva and Chelek Aleph and Pei Aleph that he thinks that maybe the Chachamim actually were making gezeiras about the women's underwear, because there's a certain joy that comes from wearing colored underwear. We're not talking about the outer garments. He develops a whole theory that way. But be it as it may, The vast majority of Achronim do not follow this Ksam Sofer. And one can argue, even though actually if you read the Maharsham inside, he is not saying it like me, but one could argue this issue depends on the way we're raising the question. Is the halacha based on suffix? If that's the case, so then when you find a stain on colored underwear, it's not much of a suffix. However, if the halacha is like the Rambam, where he says, lo gazru, so if that's the case, one can argue that even on colored underwear, the Chachamim never said it is going to be forbidden. Now, it's just worth noting, by the way, that in the Pisnei Tshuva over here, he quotes a sefer, Amudei Kesef. The Amudei Kesef writes that a woman should not wear colored underwear, bimei nidusa, or bimei libuna. Right? You see that expression, sifkatun chafdeis? Bimei nidusa, bimei libuna. Bimei libuna, we understand, those are the seven clean days. You're trying to put yourself in a situation that you could be tmeya. So therefore, you wear specifically white underwear. But what does it mean, bimei nidusa? Like she should not wear white. What does it mean that she should not wear colored when she is a nida? So it probably means the days when she's expecting her period, which we call krisha days. Those days when she's anticipating her period, then she should not wear colored underwear. This is a halacha that no one keeps. Right? To the best of my knowledge, women, when the kala teachers teach women, so they do not tell them that on krisha days, right? Any of your wives learned that on krisha days, you should specifically not wear colored, you should only wear white. I don't think that's the standard approach. But that seems to be the tshuva of the Amudei Kesef, etc.
Could it be referring to the time when he went to the Mikvah twice, once after the time when she was bleeding and once after the time of the Shemini Kiyam?
Again, while she's bleeding, it doesn't really matter what color she wears, right? She's going to be Tmeya anyway. What?
Okay.
I mean, like, right, during the actual flow days of her period, it really does not matter. Now, there is a lengthy discussion in the Pistei Tshuva Se'if Katan Chaf. Let's say you have a garment which is striped. Some of it is white, some of it is colored. So what's the halacha in that case? So the Pistei Tshuva quotes in the Me'il Tzedaka that the two whites, if I have white, colored, white, so if I have enough stain on the two white segments to be the equivalent, like we said, of the size of a penny, so then she's tomato. Although there is some colored between the two sections of white, she still is tomato. However, if there is not enough colored, enough stain on the white, she is going to be tahora. The Chavistas says that in this case, you have white and colored in the same stain. Because you know that the area on the white is problematic, you can even combine the area on the colored to the requisite shear of 19 millimeters. The Chavistas' position is, you know it is coming from her body, you know it's migufa, you know it's a problematic color, so therefore we're going to say even the section of blood on the colored area combines to the shear of 19 millimeters. Let me just finish. In the Tzemach Tzedek, Piskei Dinim, right? The Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek, wrote a Halacha Sefer, where he quotes the Dinim. So at the end of the Piskei Dinim and the Tzemach Tzedek, an area that's printed in different size letters, he notes that the Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch does not have this whole discussion about a stain that's found on some colored and some white. And that's probably because the Alter Rebbe holds that as long as there's any colored over there, it is heter gomor. So there are three positions in posting. Heter gomor, as long as it's any colored, that we combine the white sections to the requisite shear, or we even combine the colored section. And we'll try to analyze this in 1 minute. Gershon, you got a comment?
I want to ask from the previous section, you were talking about the
Can I ask you to just speak louder?
The tradition that this like tshuva has is you can't wear colored garments on main Yisrael Yom. When you read it in Seder, so I wanted to read it that he was saying that you couldn't wear them dafka then, but that if you wore them continually, you could wear them then.
That's interesting. Right, in other words, you're pointing out in Sif Katan Chafbe is a Piskei Tshuva quotes in this Amud HaKesef, she should not always wear colored garments, meaning if she's wearing the colored garments specifically not to become Tumea, she should not do that.
Yeah.
Possibly. I don't know how much that changes our conversation, but that could be his argument. I want to come back to these points in a few minutes. But let's go on. So if I have a striped garment, some colored, some white. So presumably, if I'm working within Rashi world, that the issue at hand is one of suffix, so I don't really have a suffix anymore. Because I know it's the same stain. I know it's really red, because part of it's on the white. So presumably in that case, I would be machmir, like the Chavis Das. But if one would be working in Rambam world, that fundamentally lo gazru, that they said stain on colored is not problematic, end of conversation. So then I would say one of two things. Either you combine the two white areas, or you might even say like the Alter Rebbe, which is that it's mafsik entirely. And it makes everything categorically mutter. I think this also has to do with our question. We spoke about a stain on pastel colors. It's worth noting that the Rambam's expression is that they only said it's problematic if it's on white. That's the Lashon HaRambam. You get the impression that any colored, anything that is a color, lo gazru. However, right, one could argue that this is the Rambam Lashitaso, and according to Rashi, perhaps if it's on a very light color, it would still be problematic. But the Rambam who says lo gazru, I could argue, right, the Rambam says it's only a problem if it is white. Similarly, there's a discussion, the Badei HaShulchan, let's say you have a very thick stain, and the top of it is clearly red. So can I assume that it's all okay? So probably if I hold like Rashi, I don't know, you don't really have a suffix. If you hold like the Rambam, that's a little gozru, so it's going to be okay. Additionally, what about if you find a stain, not on a garment, but you find a stain on a kli? You see, garments are absorbent. They're made out of fabric. If I find a stain on a vessel, on a hard thing, so you could tell if it's blood, if it's not blood. Presumably, according to Rashi, it would be problematic. According to the Rambam, it's okay. And it's worth noting that the Rambam has an expression that if you find a kesem on a kli, sabu'a. No? The Gemara says beged, but Maimonides changes the text. And if you notice this, the Rambam changes the gears of the Gemara. He writes kli, not beged. Years ago, I had an exchange with Reb Feivel Cohen, the author of the Badei HaShulchan. In the next siman, Kuf Tzadi Aleph, we're going to have a discussion about a woman who sees blood in urine. Not such an uncommon case. Sometimes it's a urinary tract infection. Sometimes, whatever the reason, she sees blood in the urine. So there are major Rishonim. Tosis on Daf Yud Daled says that blood in the urine has the status of ksavim. Now, I asked Reb Feivel Cohen, I say, one second. the urine is colored, it's yellow. So it should be tahar. How come we have a question, Simon Kufzadi Aleph, all these details, where is she sitting, how does the urine come out, etc., right, whether it comes out in the flow and a gush, or whether it comes out drop by drop, they have all these discussions. Why don't I say categorically it's okay? Because the blood is found on an item that's colored. Now, maybe the idea is that yellow doesn't count as a color. But what about if you have amber-colored urine, right? Sometimes, by the way, that's a sign of dehydration. If you're ever taking a hike and your urine changes to amber-colored, you have to drink more water. It's a sign of dehydration. But the point is, I asked, how come we have a problem ever when blood is found in urine? Shouldn't we say categorically it's okay? So he wrote to me, maybe we're following those opinions that colored means only something that a human colors. But if it's colored by Hashem, it's going to be problematic. That's not considered colored. There is a Chochmas Adam. The Chochmas Adam writes that the halachos of Nega'im, of Tzara'as, do not apply on colored items. But that is true only if it is colored bidei shamayim. But, excuse me, the Chochmas Adam writes that something that is colored bidei shamayim is not considered colored with respect to Tzara'as. Based on that, we are metaming something that is on colored leather or the like, because that's not called colored. This helps considerably. The Gemara talks about a case of a woman who sits down on the ground and she sees a stain. And the Gemara says, potentially she's tahar, we passed him, she's tahar, because the ground is not mekabel tumah. Well, dude, forget about the ground not being mekabel tumah. What color is ground? It ain't white. Well, maybe, so some say, maybe it's on the beach. She's sitting on the beach, white sand.
Snow.
Still, white sand isn't really white, no? All right, all right, so the Chochmah Sadam is going to say, well, it's not considered colored because it happens based on God. It's not something that a human colored. We discussed the other day, you find a stain on your body. Well, what color is your body? Is your body really white? Probably not. There are some people who are really white. Many people, right, especially on Mediterranean lands, are not genuinely white. Right? Some of the people in this room have darker complexion than others. Why don't I say that a stain on the body is categorically okay because it's not white? So, it's an interesting question. Reb Feivel Kohen suggested that maybe it's because it's colored by Hashem. I am not convinced that this answer works. It seems to me that the answer to the urine question, and Rabbi Sabalovsky told me this years ago, is that urine is often white, not yellow. And the case is that it's not yellow. And yes, if it would be on yellow urine, it would be okay. What about the stain on the body? What about the stain on the ground? What about in the Gemara, there's a case of a stain on an olive leaf? Why don't I say that the stain on the olive leaf is tahar? Because an olive leaf is probably not really white, no? Even if it's really dried, it's not going to be fully white. So the answer to these questions might be that the halacha of ksamim on colored only applies to colored garments, but colored kalim it does not apply to. And that would be consistent with Rashi's view. But according to the Rambam's view, so I do not really know the answer, because the Rambam writes colored and the Rambam tells me about kalim as well. Now,
Rabbi, shouldn't it be the opposite? I mean, according to the Rambam, lo gazru means lo gazru. I mean, according to Rashi, it doesn't matter if it's a garment.
According to Rashi,
it changes the color. According to Rashi, as far as it's going to mess up the colors, whether it's a garment, whether or not it's a vessel, whatever it is.
I don't think that's true, though, because I think it only messes up the color when it becomes partially absorbed. If it doesn't get absorbed at all, if it's on the keli, so then it won't mess up the color. I can just take the blood. I know what the color is, as opposed to for the Rambam, then it's a categorical halacha, right? I think the Rambam is consistent, but according to the Rambam, I don't know how I deal with all those gemaras. It seems to me that, again, this entire shiur is just like in terms of chakiras and structuring, it seems to me, first of all, that the idea of the chakiras that's just there to help me structure a sugya. I don't think any of the points that I made are airtight, but I think it helps structure the halacha, and therefore I think it's somewhat valuable. We can poke holes in each particular point. And the next point, I think, we could certainly poke holes in, but it seems to me as follows. The Rambam strikingly writes that there's a takana, that the rabbis said women should wear colored garments. And everyone jumps on the dam, spits wood and nickels, and say, the Gemara doesn't say it's a takana. If anything, the Gemara moved away from that. How come the Rambam says it's a takana? So the Beis Yosef has a couple of approaches in terms of how the Rambam read the Gemara. Maybe the Rambam had a different gear than the Gemara, the Beis Yosef suggests. Whatever it is. But it seems to me that if I hold like Rashi, that the leniency of a kesem on a colored garment is because it's a suffix, it's because it's questionable. So I am never allowed to enter suffix deliberately. The rabbis cannot tell me to wear colored because I'm not allowed to deliberately create a suffix situation. For example, right, the Ran tells me at the end of Psachim, even though it's a suffix derabbanan, even though Sfiras HaOmer in our times is rabbinic, but I'm not allowed to deliberately count Sfira during Bein HaShemashos. Because you can't deliberately create suffix derabbanan lahakel. But if the Rambam is right, then it's a low gazru, so it's not really a suffix. So the Rambam could say there's a takana. The rabbi said, wear colored.
Isn't this a little different? I mean, in the case of the Bein HaShemashos, right, you're actively doing a masa that and something right now. When in the case of the Beged, you're anticipating like something that could happen later on, but
right. In other words, one could argue there's a difference between the suffix that already exists, like the Bein HaShemashos case, and this case where I'm not sure you'll see any blood. But even so, the purpose of wearing the colored is to avoid tumah, right? In other words, the purpose is to create a suffix. And I'm not allowed to purposely create suffix. I hear the distinction that you're making, but I still think that for Rashi, one could argue that you're not allowed to deliberately wear colored, but according to the Rambam, perhaps it's okay. Another issue that this relates to, of course, is the Piskei Tshuva Sifkat in Chof Beis, about whether during the first 3 days we can be lenient on a kesem on a Dover Tzavua. That's because, right, is it a Tzliya? Is it an attribution? Or is it Lo Gazru? I think that issue, the Piskei Tshuva has a stira within himself. He sends you to Kuftza Divov Sifkat in Yud Beis. I think that issue also is dependent on what we've been discussing. So these are some of the points. Just to tie things up, the notion that the Chochmas Adam has, that we are going to attribute, we'll apply the rules of Nigaim to Ksamim in terms of Dagar Savua. If you look in the Lechem B'Simla, he takes drawing issue with that. The question of a kesem that's found on underwear that the Chassam Sofer is strict on and the Maharsham is lenient, the Chazon Ish is also lenient, and the Chazon Ish writes a programmatic statement. Chazon Ish says, none of the Poskim said it. None of the opinions in the Gemara said it. Therefore, you can't be strict. Right? That's a sheet of the Chazon Ish in general, that the way the Paskin the Shaila is based on someone should have said it. If you think it's a problem, Right? And it's such a common occurrence, someone should have said it. That's like a methodological point that the Chazon Ish has all the time. And I wish you all a marvelous day. Okay, thank you for coming to learn.